You're listening to a podcast from West Hill United Church. These podcasts are made possible by the generous support of our listeners. To donate, click on the Canada Helps button or go to westhill.net/donate.
To the congregation, and of course I answered yes, I would be very honored to do that. So the next obvious question then is, well, on what subject? And without too much thought, I said, well, if my life has any meaning at all, one of the subjects would be solidarity, would be on the theme of solidarity, because when I look back on what I did for about 40 years, most of it had to do with organizing or promoting or building solidarities between people in various walks of life or identities. And in the last 15 or so years in my work in the Canadian Auto Workers Union, a lot of that had to do with explaining, motivating union members to support people in poverty, refugees or people without immigration status, and Indigenous people. So that gave me a lot of satisfaction, but a lot of, grist for the, thought. Like, it made me think about what solidarity really meant. So now, the obvious next question is then, what is solidarity? How do you define it? We could begin with a very functional concept of solidarity, which might go something like this. If you and your group support me and my group, then my group and I will support you and your group. Okay? It's very business-like. It's very straightforward. It's very sensible. And it's exceedingly dull. And there's some limitations. When you think about it, there's some very severe limitations on that concept of solidarity. In my union, we used to call that business unionism. And not that we didn't take care of business. Taking care of business was one thing. But there's a difference between taking care of business and making business your ideology. Okay, and that was one thing that we always tried to keep clear in our minds. So I call that the business contract concept of solidarity. First of all, it starts with a little two-letter word that's very problematic, and you might have caught it. It's the word if, which makes that proposition conditional. So there's no leap of faith. And for people of faith, that should be a problem. The other thing is that it's a little touch self-serving, as you can probably recognize. And when you think about it, it suggests that this would only work between groups that have relatively equal power and resources. Because if you're expecting something in return that's going to have some material benefit to you, why would you offer solidarity to a group that has no power, that's powerless, or has few resources? So it works very well, this business contract concept of solidarity, within the confines of groups that have roughly equal power and resources. But that's about as far as it goes. So we need something a little better than that if we're actually going to talk about solidarity. I have three signposts, so you know where I'm going. Sometimes when I talk, people get nervous. I say, where is this guy going? I won't be talking to an empty chair this week. Some people could classify me as a senior citizen. We had a senior citizens moment on television this week. I won't be talking to any empty chairs. But the I have three signposts. The first is the pay it forward idea. The second is the liberation quote. And the third is Casey's theology. All of us should raise questions. What's all that about? Okay, the first one, pay it forward, is a very good antidote, very good contrast to the business concept of solidarity. And Hal, would you like to show this little trailer from the movie Pay It Forward from the year 2000? And I should maybe make the same disclaimer you see on all Hollywood movies about violence, coarse language, and nudity. So it might be a touch of one of those things in there, but my apologies, I didn't make the movie. All right, so we're going to watch this. That did get across the gist of the pay it forward idea. But I'll have now to explain what that is, as briefly as I can. And that is, okay, if I do something good for somebody, they'll say, well, what can I do to repay you? And instead of saying, well, you can do this, you can do that, I say, look, just go do 3 acts of intentional human kindness for 3 other people, and in the course of that, suggest to them that they do the same. So don't repay me, just pay it forward. And when you think about it, there being only 7 degrees of separation between any 2 people in the universe and the world, eventually that comes back to you. But it's like, if you were to make this a formula, and I'm not saying this was all that great in physics, but it might look something like this. Solidarity equals intentional acts of human kindness times 3 times infinity. And so that, there's a kind of multiplication of acts of solidarity or support that grow exponentially at a qualitative level, not at a quantitative level. And so the possibilities are endless. What a more inspiring idea than the business contract concept of solidarity. So that's the first thing to contrast to where we began. The next thing is this little quote that's right on the beginning of right on the front page of our service, our little order of service today. Yeah, I think I might need a copy of it because I didn't bring one up with me. Okay. I'm always quoting this thing, but making up a new version of it every time I quote it. So you've all read it, you've seen it. You see on TV, or maybe even gone down to places like the Occupy Wall Street protests, and there's been these big anti-globalization demonstrations in various parts of the world over the last 10 or 15 years. And there's something emerged from that, and that's called a mic check. Anybody ever heard of a mic check? Okay, how about we try it out? A mic check is where somebody has some really important information to convey, and so everybody pays attention. We all come together as a common group and focus our minds together on the same piece of information. Very similar to what we do here in church. Okay. So I say mic check, and you say mic check. I can see you're a little tentative. We do a lot of group work in this church, so it shouldn't be so hard for us to do this, right? So I'll say a phrase and then you repeat after me. And if you're a little bit, this is a little bit beneath my dignity. I'm a little shy about this. I just need a few participants, okay? So don't be shy. Mic check. If you have come here to help me, you are wasting your time. But if you have come because your liberation is bound up with mine, let us work together. Great. We did our mic check. Okay. Those words deserve that kind of attention, that kind of focused attention. They're attributed to a group called the Aboriginal Activist Group in Queensland, in Australia. And the person who's really credited with that quote refused to be credited with it because she said it was the result of a collective thought process. It wasn't her individual act of genius. And but her name is Lila Watson, an Aboriginal person from Australia, which suggests that her ancestors and mine collided somewhere in the past, maybe not happily. So we are interconnected. And now there's two things about this quote that are very remarkable. Well, first of all, this isn't one of the two things I really wanted to focus on, but it's enigmatic, and I love that about things that are full of deep meaning, is that on the surface they're enigmas, they're puzzles that need to be solved, and they require work. That's a good thing. But once you get into the work of it, there's two things that come to mind. One is it's a very powerful and militant way of asserting the essential equality of all people, regardless of whether they're offering solidarity or whether they're receiving solidarity. Both the giver and the receiver are militantly equal. Okay? And that is, I love that about this, and that we're talking about solidarity, not charity. And I'm not running down charities because I volunteer in some programs that have charitable status, so my heart has kind of softened towards charity over the years. But we're talking about solidarity. The other thing is, and this is a little harder, this work is a little harder here, is the transformative effect that solidarity, when offered in the right spirit, the transformative effect that solidarity has on those offering it, again, if they offer it in the right spirit. Because if you approach it in the right way, well, here's a contrast. Let's give a very bad example of solidarity. And I shared this with Krista before the service this morning. She said, you should use that, so I'll use it. Say I want to, you know, just deliver 1,000 pounds of resource supplies to some group. And I drive down the road and I speed down the road. I drop off the supplies and then I jump back in the truck and drive away. Very bad example of solidarity. The supplies themselves might be very useful, but the better thing to do would be to get out of the truck, go talk to the people, hang around for a while, enter into discussion with people, listen to what they have to say, do more listening than talking, something that I was never very good at. But I knew the importance of it, even if I wasn't a good practitioner of it. Do some listening. Do a lot of listening. About 95% listening and 5% talking. Just enough talking to keep the questions and conversation going. And eventually you'll start to hear questions, dangerous questions. And I'm playing with the language here. I mean dangerous in a good sense, in the sense that they're challenging. And just like, you know, the guy who was in All President's Men, that guy that they kept going back to in the garage to find out what was really going on, he said, follow the money. I say, follow the questions. Follow the questions until you arrive at some uncomfortable answers. And then even more dangerously, act on the answers that are suggested by the questions, are suggested by your search, by your inquiries. Now, I was tempted to give a specific example of that today, and I thought in the interest of economy, I would not, because I didn't want people to go away debating in their minds whether or not they agreed with my example. But I've encountered this many times, where, you know, offering solidarity leads to questions, but if you answer, you have to act on them. You're now duty bound to act on the answers that you found. And that's what this quote means. This is what this group means by this quote, is that your liberation is bound up with ours. If you find the answers to those questions that are raised by the work that we're doing together, it will mean your liberation as well as ours. Very powerful idea. And it's a castle. This quote is like a castle that you can wander around in for your entire life and still make new discoveries. And so I'm going to leave you with the formula rather than a specific example, because I'm so tempted to. I'm so tempted to give you an example, but there would only be one of millions. So over coffee, you could challenge me and say, well, what's your example? We'll have something to talk about. Okay, the third signpost is Casey's theology. Now, this arises in the Grapes of Wrath, where our hero, Tom Joad, has become an outlaw because he's on the run. He fought back when the police, who were acting on the interests of the growers, the big we would call them agribusiness today. Those days they just called them the growers. When the police killed a union organizer by the name of Casey. And now Tom Joad has to offer his final farewell to his mom, to his ma, Ma Joad. And so his ma asked some obvious question, where are you going to be, Tom? Where are you going to go? And he says, well, I just got to go find out stuff. Just like us, you know, come to church on Sunday mornings because we got to find out stuff. We don't have all the answers. He's driven by this powerful need to find answers to questions that have arisen as a result of the work that he's been doing and the experience of his people. And he says it was just like Casey. When Casey went off to find his soul, he came up with an answer that wasn't what he expected. So let's watch how I'll put it on just a minute. This is Tom Joad's final farewell, and I'll tell you who the actors are. You'll recognize Henry Fonda, needs no introduction. But there's also Jane Darwell. And I looked up something about her, and when she was young, she changed her name to Darwell because when she became an actress, she didn't want to bring disrepute to her family. So we're going to watch John Ford directed movie, a clip from The Grapes of Wrath, 1939, Tom Joad's final farewell. Yeah, so Casey's theology is quoted very briefly, but he got the essence of it. Across there. He said, what Casey said to him was that he found out he didn't have a soul of his own. He only had a little piece of the great big soul. So how did he find that out? He said he went off into the woods, he went off into the forest one day and to find his soul. But when he was there, he looked at all these thousands of trees, and he said, but these trees, they don't have their own individual souls. What has the soul that envelops them all? What is the soul that envelops all those trees? Somebody answer that? The forest, yeah, the earth, the forest itself is what has the great soul. And all those little trees, they just got a little piece of it. So it's no different than us. And, you know, we come to church on Sunday and Greta leads us through those processes that she's written, and she's, you know, we are, you know, sharing into the community. It's like, even if it's just for a moment in time, we're like saying, okay, well, we just got one little piece of that big soul that's here in this room. And that's a good place to do solidarity work from, is the concept that you're actually only share a little piece of the big soul that everybody has, that you are not a separate entity, independent and self-contained under yourself, but you're, when you do good for somebody else, you're doing good for your own soul, because it's, you share that very same soul with that other person. When you do harm to somebody else, you're doing harm to your own soul. So this is a really good place to be. And also what I like about that little clip is the way he says, well, wherever there's a struggle, wherever people are rising up because they can't take it anymore, that's where I'll be. But he also says something else very nice. That's the militant part, but he also says, where you hear the sound of children laughing because they just heard the dinner bell ring and they know they're going to get fed, I'll be there too. So he'll be there in the moments of struggle, he'll be there in the moments of joy. You see the parallels between this, what we're talking about this morning, and what we do every Sunday? We share the moments of joy and we share the moments of sorrow. So I took you on a little journey here with three signposts: pay it forward, deliberation quote, and Casey's theology. And that's the way I would encapsulate about 40 years of experience. And that's the distilled essence of it. And it's like climbing up a ladder. Another analogy would be that I climbed up a ladder. But being a little bit older now, when I get to the top of the ladder, the top rung of the ladder, I start to get dizzy. You know, you're painting that second floor window, you're starting, I need some help, somebody help me down. So at this point I'm going to ask Greta to help me down.